You know that decupper, the brand decupper or decupper that does the premix, you know, the Manhattan, the Cosmopolitans?
Uh-huh.
Well, they had one. I was just at the liquor store. Yeah, I know. I was at the hardware store by way of the liquor store. And I happened to see that they came out with one called Kamikaze Shots. Now, I love kamikazes.
Yeah.
It's like a lime vodka. Usually you have them in shots, but you can have them over ice.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out with a premix, already mixed up. Open bottle, enjoy happiness.
Wow, so you've got a bottle of Kamikaze Shots you're enjoying.
Well, I filled my sippy cup two-thirds of the way.
Holy cow.
And then topped it off with Sprite.
It's a Kamikaze sippy cup.
It's a Kamikaze sippy cup. And I'll tell you what, I will probably be shit-faced by the end of this show.
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, guess what the pre-roll is. Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night QAM! Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, and Michael, the virtual Youper. Tonight, more Apple news. Joel reviews the show Carnival. And Ingress on iOS? Soon? All that and more on Late Night QAM! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire, here's Joel, Barry, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM show number 141. From the Monadnock region in the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And from Hillsborough County, southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from the family truckster, surprise, in the southwest corner of Keweenaw County, heading home, this is Michael, the virtual Uber.
And welcome, everybody. It's the last day of May. Can you believe June 1st is tomorrow?
Yeah,
half
the year.
Half gone. The year is gone already. You know, and you know, it was like, you know, two winters for Michael.
Yeah. There is still ice in Marquette Harbor.
Jeez, but I heard in a podcast that shall not be named that the Bell is back.
Yes.
The Bell is back. Yes.
Okay. I thought he was going, oh, what are they talking about?
What bell?
What bell?
Yeah, Bell bats in his bell.
Oh, you mean the buoy? Yes, the buoy is back.
Yeah, the Bell buoy, right?
Am I breaking?
No.
Yes. Am I breaking up?
No.
No.
Okay, there was just this long pause there.
What? Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's why we thought. We weren't sure you knew what we were talking about. Probably not.
No, I answered right away.
Yeah. You did.
Okay, now you're breaking up.
Now it sounds like Tron.
We're probably, right. Just as we started the podcast, he's probably heading into the no man's land.
Exactly, the dark spot.
The dark spot. We'll see. Michael, are you there?
Houston, we have a problem.
Pretty soon we'll hear, Michael's picture will disappear for a little bit. But we'll continue on.
Really,
we shall. Oh, right, there he is. There he is.
He's there.
I'll try and do some zinging.
Wave your iPhone around in the cab.
That was almost musical.
It almost was.
Tonight's musical guest, Michael. And there he goes. Oh, he'll be back just at the end of the show to say goodbye.
Yeah, hopefully not, because he's got some updates.
I know. And we haven't heard from him in a while, too, because, you know, he's always been in the black hole there.
Indeed he has. Yeah. Oh. So, there just he is. Knock one out of the park.
Yeah, okay.
Got that sorted.
He's there in picture. I can hear background noise, but I can't hear him.
I listen for the sound of the family truckster, the gurgling of the diesel.
Yeah, well, there's some kind of background noise there. I don't think it's coming from you or me. That's him.
Yes.
Okay. Well, this weekend has been a sort of washout. It's been raining off and on. Like, it rains, and then the sun comes out for an hour, and then it rains.
As it does in spring.
And the sun comes out for an hour. Yeah, but it's almost summer now. I looked at the forecast for this week, and it's going to be rain, 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 rain.
Wait a minute. I checked the forecast, and it's going to be gorgeous tomorrow.
Yeah.
78 down here, 75 up your way.
Yeah.
Ask me why I asked what it was going to be like in Jaffrey. Ha ha. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Taking a ride up.
And it's supposed to be 81 in my area on Monday and sunny. Then it's supposed to turn to showers Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
That's pretty much most of the week.
Well, yeah, but you said the whole week. And
okay, Monday. I'm sorry.
Monday.
Well, Mondays don't count because it's work. And...
Well, yeah, but I was going to ride my bike into work. I figured, why the hell not? It'd be the first time I do it this year.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Definitely getting out. Going for a nice ride. Stretch your legs out. I haven't had the bike out yet this year.
Yeah, I'll be out in the yard because today's on and off rain. I was not able to do the mowing of the lawn, and it is tall.
So, you had all what you rained up there your way today?
Oh, it was raining every other hour. It was raining.
You know, I should pay better attention. I'm an idiot. You did say that. I just didn't realize that you had meant today.
No,
it's gorgeous down this way all day today. Dry, really? Sunny, absolutely beautiful.
Not here. As a matter of fact, I had to figure out I was gonna run at 3 o'clock, and I couldn't because it was downpour. And then we ate, and then I said, okay, about 5 o'clock, it was clearing up, so I said, I'm gonna go now. And so I went off and ran, and I got rained on the way home from the run,
which is kind of nice from what I understand from runners.
Yeah.
It's nice to jog in the rain.
Yeah, it's okay if you don't wear glasses.
I can see your point. I see your point, yes. Sir.
I hate rain mostly because of the glasses. Because you get rain on the glasses, you can't see a damn thing, you take them off, and I still can't see a damn thing. But I can almost see better without them than with rain on them. So, yes, I am still doing the cubicle, as they call it, the cubicle to 5K, although this week I was doing all my running at home. We didn't have it Monday because we had off, although I ran at home. And then, unbeknownst to me, because I took the Thursday off before, they sent out an email and said, oh, because we're not running on Monday, we're going to do it on Tuesday. So I show up, and I don't have my stuff because it's not the normal day to run. So they ran. But that's okay because it was my day off because I ran on Saturday and Monday. And
so
Wednesday, they were going to run on Wednesday again to get back on schedule. And so I said, okay, so I brought my stuff, but I only brought a t-shirt and shorts. And I don't know if you remember last Wednesday, but it was, overcast, rainy in the morning. It stopped raining in the afternoon, but it was like in the 40s.
Yes, it was freezing cold.
So I said, yeah, I'm not going to run, sweat, and be in a t-shirt and shorts. I'll do it at home where I can at least put a jacket on. And so I got home, and I did go out and run, but I was wearing fleece. a fleece jacket, and that was good. Uh-huh. That worked out well. I was wearing shorts because my legs, it doesn't bother my legs, but I was afraid, you know, getting hypothermia or something, you know, from...
That's a real concern, you know.
From having a wet shirt and nothing to hold the heat in. So, I did it, and then yesterday I was supposed to run, but it was rainy, very rainy, when I got home. So I opted to do it today, and I got out there, and I'm caught up. I'm starting week 5 on Monday, and things are going good, and I actually went to JCPenney's last night and picked up, this is actually a runner's shirt.
Yes, yeah, I see
bright,
that.
Bright yellow, so that people can see me on the roadway.
So they can see what it is they hit.
Yes, yes, exactly. Because when I was running on Wednesday, it was kind of late, although the sun is up, but it was very dark because of the clouds, and I'm wearing a black jacket. And I said, you know, this is kind of dangerous because cars can't, it was getting to be dusk and cars can't see me very well. And that's when I opted to go out and get the running shirts. And hey, they happened to be on sale and everything. So it worked out well. And I'm a fan of JCPenney's big and tall shop now, except they aren't a big and tall shop. They are a big or tall shop.
Right.
And I think we've talked about that before. You know.
Yeah.
If you're tall, they expect you to be skinny. And if you're short, they expect you to be fat.
Yes.
But they don't have anything for large people that are tall.
It's slim pickings.
Yes. Yeah, you can find some things. But this was like this one's a good fit, and it's like a 2XLT. On me, so that works. But they had 4XLs. The 2XLT was the biggest one they had for tall people, and it actually fits very nice. And I was impressed by the Penneys. They redid the Penneys in Keene, and I was very impressed. It's a nice store in there now. Yeah. So I hadn't been in it in, I don't know, years. Because usually if I'm going shopping at a department store or something, I end up down your neck of the woods. But yep, the cubicle to 5K is going on. I did actually lose some weight this week. So I'm down about let's see, when did I weigh myself? I'm down about 7 pounds from the last time I weighed myself. So So we'll see. We'll see if that continues or whether I plateau somewhere. So,
what the heck is going on here?
Are you having issues?
Yeah, headphone issues. I was trying to put in my other headphones, and it's not working out real good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, should have probably screwed around with it earlier. But like I said, I had internet issues, which were my real concern. I didn't think I was going to be doing a show today.
Yeah, well, you had a call into them, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a service call in, and they hooked a trace to the line from the pole to the house, and they said, "Well, we think the problem's in the house." And I said, "All right, well," so I started hunting through because I'd much rather fix it myself, and I replaced the RJ11 jack because I have high speed DSL. So I rewired, I guess I should start from the top. The old jack, I found a broken wire. You have two pair in any RJ11 jack. You have ring and tip, which is typically, as a rule of thumb, you've got black and yellow and then red and green. It's Christmas and then Halloween. It's how it's the easy way to remember it. Let me see here if I got to remember this right. Your tip is your green and black, your ring is yellow and red. Mm-hmm. And as a rule of thumb, whenever you see a telephone jack run to a house, unless it's got two telephone lines or data and telephone, they're only using one pair.
Right.
So I looked at this, and the wires are broken. Like, they literally disintegrated as soon as I took the cover off the RJ11 jack and went, "Oh, that's a problem. I'm surprised it worked this long." So I went ahead and I thought, I didn't have another jack, so I spliced them back together again. I didn't have any chiclets, so I just pigtailed it, put tape on it, figured that close enough. But then I thought the modem was starting to go, my modem slash router, which right. is an old Westel model 7500 that you get from Verizon when you first sign up. But long short, I went ahead and too late. I went ahead and tried to figure out, was it the modem that's the problem? Because I kept my internet would go on and then drop, on and then drop. And I'm like, what the hell? I couldn't stream. Oh. I couldn't even watch a YouTube video. Jeez. That's how I couldn't get the data packets through. And I was really getting frustrated with it. So I put a new RJ, like I said, I put a new RJ11 jack. I took the old one off. I found there's a ton of extra wiring that was on there that went to other phones in the house uh-huh. that someone had cut. Each one of those is going to degrade your signal. So I got rid of and eliminated all those. And then I hooked it up the way it's supposed to be, which is your red and green, which goes into the center of, if you look at your telephone plug, uh-huh. that one that snaps in, uh-huh. typically four wires or four copper tangs on it. Newer ones might have six, but the two center, which is red and green, are what's used to to make and receive a telephone call. Okay. The two outer ones, black and yellow, aren't used. Mm-hmm. Unless you have a second line. But I was looking at mine and looking at it, and I hooked it up the way it's supposed to be hooked up.
Yeah.
And I had intermittent DSL internet connection. Sometimes there, sometimes not. Sometimes there, sometimes not. A little bit better, but it was still intermittent. And I started thinking about it. And I had my drink on last night. It was about 12:30 last night. And I got pissed off because I was trying to watch the show I wanted to do for today's show notes, mm-hmm. which is called Carnival. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, it dumped out on me. And I went, son of a bitch, I can't stand this anymore. And I had a little bit of a buzz. And so when I start doing my best thinking, I'm like, you know what? I want to tear this sumbitch apart. And it dawned on me, wait a minute. What if they have it wired backwards? Because I live in a two-story Victorian.
Mm-hmm.
So between that jack and all the way down in the basement, what's the likelihood that they crisscrossed two wires and they used, say, the black and the green?
Mm.
Which isn't typically ring and tip.
Right.
Or what if they did use the correct two wires, but one of them is partially severed?
Hmm.
And if it's partially severed because they got the neighbors downstairs, and with all the construction and renovation that's happened in the house,
yeah,
the likelihood that that wire got nicked somewhere between up here and the basement, pretty high.
Well, the other thing too, since you've got two phone lines technically in that house, your neighbors and yours.
Well, they're separate jacks, though.
Oh, they
so,
are.
I mean,
they
up
have
here,
separate.
Yeah, up here. Yeah, so we have our jack, which has two pair. They have their jack, which is
okay,
two pair.
Okay, so they got separate boxes down, right. What do they call network boxes.
Right, well, it's actually one network box that has two lines going to it, and then they split it. So one goes to the first floor, one goes to the second.
Okay. Oh, maybe. But, okay.
Well, here's I know where you're going with this one, but in theory, what I had at the network box. The line is solid from the network box up to my jack, my RJ11 jack on mm-hmm. the wall. But they were doing a lot of construction down here, new ceilings and new walls.
Mm-hmm.
And if they nicked, that wire's been in that wall probably, I bet you, no word of a lie, since the 80s.
Probably, yeah.
And if it got nicked, and that's what would drop my signal off. So I went, all right, let me try something just for shits and giggles. So I went ahead and I made a jumper.
Mm-hmm.
And I jumped the two ring lines, which would be red and yellow, and I jumped the two tip, which would be the green and the black.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, by adding a jumper, I essentially took two pair and turned it into one pair, or okay. One in and one out. And as soon as I did that, bang! My internet came back on. My mm-hmm. solid has never been as strong.
Wow! Cool. So,
I mean, I for a week, all week long, I've been going back and forth, and I'm thinking, why the I refuse to pay somebody to do something to fix it that I can. I mean, I have an abut set, But of course, it's sitting on my tool belt at work, so I never had it here to check for a ring and tip. Yeah. So I was doing it all by theory. And then I started looking at modems, and I thought, well, maybe my modem slash router just took a shit. But realistically, this Westel 7500, although a lot of people have had issues with them, this thing has been a rock solid modem for me.
Mine's been good too, and it looks like an old style modem, but you know, mm-hmm. I have had no issues with it whatsoever.
And it stays on all the time, yeah. And you know, so it's.
I don't even see it disconnect or reconnect. I mean, it's you know, you can unless I reboot the thing.
Yep.
Right. It stays connected all the time, from what I can tell, looking at the logs and everything on
right.
it.
Right. I've looked at the logs too when it's doing a switch, when it's switching from one not subnet. Shit. You remember those kamikazes I told you I've been drinking? Guess what's kicking in.
Good. Time to do some internet repairing.
Right. So, in any event, shit. I wasn't quite this far along yesterday when I started working on it. Yesterday I was drinking rum, and but these kamikazes are good.
It's gonna be a fun night.
Even if it isn't, I'm gonna turn it into one. I guarantee goddamn you that.
Oh, jeez.
So now we got the net up, got it running. It's honestly, it's working way better than I ever have seen it work in the 4 years I've been here.
Cool.
And so, you know, as a rule, like everything else, you know, why in the world would I take something apart that seems to be working and start to explore into it? You wouldn't, you know. So we've been here for almost five years now.
Really?
So, and the internet's always worked. So I'm like, oh, why the hell would I take the jack off the wall and start to rewire it if I've always got internet? But, yeah, man, we're rocking now. We're definitely cool. I downloaded per your guys' past advice. What the hell is this? Speedtest.
Yeah.
.net. Mm-hmm. So I downloaded the app on my iPhone. Now, I mean, this is not stellar by any stretch of the imagination.
And don't forget, you're going through Wi-Fi when you do that.
Yeah, off my cell phone.
So you're limited to whatever Wi-Fi connection is.
Yeah, you're right, and that's typically 54 MIPS.
Yeah. That's still higher than anything you should be getting on DSL.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine so, because I don't even remember what the down-up combination is I'm paying for. It's the highest one that they offer.
It's probably 15
but,
and one.
I'm getting, what is it? I'm getting, no, you. I don't get the 15, you do. I think mine's 8. Now, my best, here it is. It's 582 down and 0.94 up.
That's not bad.
And that's over Wi-Fi.
Yeah, yeah. I get, for some reason, I got the 15 in one plan, but I get I get 17-something down and 1.4 up, I think.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm so lucky, but I'm not complaining.
You're close to the switch, that's why. I'm at the very furthest point away from the service out on Main Street.
Yeah. Well, I'm 3 miles from town, so the only thing I can think of is when they started offering DSL, because I'm more than 3 miles away from the central office, is that they actually put remote switches in on poles.
Yeah,
in places.
Exactly. The switch must be right outside your house.
Yeah. So, because it's... I'm not complaining. You know, people say, DSL. It's like, man, mine is that, and I don't share it with anybody, and it's a constant 17 MIPS down. So,
I couldn't agree with you more, brother. I said that to somebody today at work, the other day at work. I said, I have high-speed DSL. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, you don't understand. My internet, aside from the issues that I've had recently, is rock solid. At any given point, I have 7 different devices gaffing on the internet, downloading, uploading, watching videos, whatever, which is considered download, and never, ever see latency.
Right.
Ever. Yeah. I never get throttled.
Nope.
Ever. And they're like, seriously? I'm like, yeah, so, you know, take your Comcast, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah. Oh, look.
I like my high-speed DSL.
What did they say? 30 MIPS down or something like that? I don't know what they're saying now. It's like, 30 MIPS down. With an asterisk next to it.
Exactly. And then
non-prime time yet.
Yeah, at 3 a.m. on a Wednesday, the third Wednesday of any month ending in Z.
You might get that. So, yeah, I can't complain. I can't complain at all. Well, speaking about fixing things, you know my mower I bought last year, the little push, self-propelled push mower slash push mower that I use to cut the grass here in the hottest part of the year.
Yeah.
Well, my riding mower was broken.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we use that to do some trimming and stuff like that. And, it's one of those ones where you don't have any controls or anything. It's just got the pull start. And last year, it was always like, boom, one pull, and it would start, and it self-adjusted its choke and everything automatically and everything. Well, this year, I don't know what was going on. I did leave some gas in it over the winter, which I didn't realize I did. So, it hasn't been starting. So, yes, I checked the fuel line, and of course it's a plastic, a rubber fuel line, and I was squishing it and things like that. I may have to replace that. I actually did spray some in the carburetor. I sprayed some fuel starting fluid. And it ran for as long as the starting fluid lasted, and then it would cut out. So, you know, about like... So,
really?
But of course, the other thing I did was I said, let me pull the spark plug, because it's, you know, you're supposed to replace them once a year anyway.
Right.
But so I get in there with my spark plug, because all I have is the spark plug. Things, and I got the two different sizes for the larger spark plugs and the smaller standard size spark plugs.
Smaller, you mean spark plug sockets?
Sockets, yes. Yeah, I think it's 3/8.
And then the other one's 5/8.
Yes, and both of them were too big for.
Yes, they're going to be for a lawnmower.
Yeah. So I didn't have anything. So stopped on the way home from work, the good old Harbor Freight.
Yeah.
Got some long sockets, a set of long sockets, and I said, oh, the spark plug will fit in these things. Of course, the only ones they had at the smaller sizes was a half-inch thing, and I said, well, geez, I don't have a half-inch wrench or ratchet.
A half-inch drive.
Drive, yeah. So then I had to buy a half-inch drive, and I said, you know, that's got kind of a big head on it, and the spark plugs kind of recessed in there, and so I said I better get some extensions. So they didn't have a single extension. I bought a set of half inch extensions.
Yep.
So yeah, it probably cost me close to $50 walking out of there just to take a spark plug out. But I gotta say, I got some nice long sockets now, a socket set, and I have a nice half inch. What do you call it? The ratchet, which also has a telescoping handle on it. So you can add some extra.
It's a torque multiplier.
Yes. So I got that, and I found the one that fit. I think it was like 11/16 fit this thing. I pulled it out. And it's a Kohler spark plug. And, of course, in the process of trying to take it off before, I also cracked some of the ceramic part of the thing. And
well, you're guaranteed to need a new one now.
Yeah, well, that was the reason, yeah. And of course, the front part of the serial number was taken off. And I go into the operator's manual, and it has a lot of information, except... it has nothing on the spark plug whatsoever.
You can cross-reference it, though.
Well, yeah. And so off went... and then Anne-Marie actually went online and looked at the manual, or the maintenance manual for... uh-huh. She found that at Toro. And it said she got a number from there. But then I went to Bell Tate's, which is the local hardware store. And they have a whole wall of spark plugs. But nothing with the number Anne-Marie found. and I was doing the visual with the spark plug that came out versus the spark plugs they had, and none of them had the screw part. I don't know what you call that part of the spark.
Threads.
The threads. Okay. Oh, the threads. Oh, you talk so technical. Anyway, it was a long threaded, but skinny. And right. So, and they had no spark plug there whatsoever that looked anything like it. So then I went across the street to the auto place.
Yeah.
Auto supply place. And he was able to cross-reference the thing with a partial number. And he went back and looked, and he supposedly had one in stock, but he couldn't find it. But he gave me, I want to say the GCK, CGK number. I don't know. He says it's the standard number for it. Mm-hmm. So I went to the other auto parts place, which is, by the gas station. You know right. What I'm talking about.
Yes. Yes, I know.
And they had it in stock. And he goes, there. And he goes, and he pulled it out, and it looks just like it. And so, I paid my $3 for a spark plug. And I get home, and I put the thing in, and then I try to put the top on top of it, and it's not going on. It's not going on. And I look at the thing, and I said, oh, for Christ's sake. It's all that's on the top of this spark plug is threads. Apparently, it has a screw-on type.
You have to thread on the top. You have to thread on the actual chamfered neck. So the spark plug wire will snap on.
Yes, the chamfered neck, but that was not in the box with it.
You might be able to unthread one off the old spark plug.
The old spark plug. I tried. I looked. It doesn't unscrew. I think it's. Welded.
Solid, so it's a solid piece, right? So what you need is a thread on top.
Right, but and I was going to go back to this place, but I remember them saying it was like 12:45 when I went in there, and they close at 1:00 on Saturday. So yeah, no. And Sunday, I'm sure I can just take this thing back and say, here, it didn't come with a top.
Well, actually, or if you will, go to Walmart.
Yeah.
And in the Walmart section,
do they sell them separately?
Well, they'll have an assortment of spark plugs. Doesn't matter what part number. All you need to do is find the spark plug that's got the thread on top. That's an NGK or any almost any NGK spark plug. Almost, not all of them, but most of them have thread on top. So you can unthread it and thread it on your spark plug for your mower, and it'll fit. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. If I end up coming up your way tomorrow, I'll bring one with me.
Okay. Because I still think I'm going to have to work on this, because I still think I've got a clogged fuel system. But, the spark plug needed to be replaced anyway, because it got a lot of use last year. I was push mowing 3 acres.
Right. Plus, you said it ran on starting fluid, but wouldn't run. What's the starting fluid you had sprayed in? Which you got to be careful, because it'll burn a hole in the piston. But once that was gone, it stopped running.
Right.
So, yeah, it sounds like you got a fuel issue.
Yeah, and it's a short range from the gas tank, rubber hose of the gas tank to the carburetor.
Right.
And, I was thinking maybe the gas lacquered up over the winter.
Yeah, it stuck floats. Stuck floats in the carburetor, and they're not opening up, allowing the gasoline to pass through the jets to get into the engine. So it's running. It'll run on the vapors that you spray into the air cleaner,
because
that means it's combustible. It's coming in a different route.
Right.
And then, it might be just a carb clean scenario. You get yourself a can of carb cleaner sprayed in there.
Oh, really?
And then,
That'll take out the lacquer.
Well, the starting fluid was a start, and then carb cleaner. Once you can get it going, spritzing some. Carb cleaner will definitely get it cleaned, and hopefully, if it's not too bad of a deposit.
Yeah.
And then with some fresh, high, good quality gasoline.
Yeah, well, it's got brand new gas in there now.
Right.
I can't get the damn thing started, so. But, needless to say, we're almost there. It was just trials and tribulations to get a frickin' lawnmower spark plug.
It's always something.
Oh, God, it should be a 10-minute job, and I ended up spending like an hour and a half on it, and still didn't complete the mission,
Right. I hear you.
So anyway, so that was my fun with lawnmowers. And yes, I tend to I'm not good with small engines. They tend to work really well for a while and then stop working with me. So and yeah, I just don't have the patience to take them apart and play with them, although I should learn because it's not that difficult to fix those things. From what I can tell.
You know, they're not that tricky.
No,
they're really, really not.
They're not. You just gotta know what you're getting into, and also the right tools to get the stuff apart. So, but I got a cool set of ratchets now, or whatchamacallits, long
extensions.
Well, extensions and the long
sockets, deep sockets. Well sockets.
Yes, even though the only thing I didn't like about them is they came multicolored.
Yeah, okay. So they're anodized.
Huh?
Are they anodized? Like green, blue, red, yellow?
Yes.
Yeah. That's so you can see the size at a distance. You don't have to read the numbers on them.
Yeah, if you use them enough, I'm sure you would match the color with the size. Yeah, I'm never going to match the color with the size. I'm not going to sit there and memorize it. And I don't use them every day. So, you know, yes, I'm sure it's a good idea. But I'm still going to be looking at the number. Although, I got to say, I needed the purple one to take the old spark plug out. And I needed the blue one to put it back in. Oh, that was the other thing. The new spark plug had a standard 3/8 crank on it.
Okay.
So... Which, if you looked at the spark plug, you could see they could do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it didn't have to be this 11/16 thing. I don't know why it was.
But I'm surprised it was conventional American. More than likely, it would have been metric.
Well, maybe it was... I don't know. It's a Kohler motor. Aren't they... Isn't that an American company, or is that a German company?
I'm looking at Kohler right now. KohlerEngines.com. And, yeah, well, here's Denso. Actually, I'm looking at the cross reference chart for how many horsepower is your mower?
Don't quote me. Probably it's five.
Probably it's 5 horsepower.
I think. I'm not sure. I have to go down.
4 and a 6.
Okay. Well, then it would probably be a 4. I'm
okay.
Not sure. It's a push mower, but it's self-propelled.
Right. Exactly. So engine model CS4, four horsepower. Champion spark plug model RN14YC. That's an all common off the shelf plug. 30,000 cap.
What was the number?
A champion number RN14YC is in Charlie.
That's not what Anne Marie found. She found an RJ or RA8J or something like that from the Toro manual. But then again, it's those freaking maintenance manuals. Oh. Here's the maintenance manual for 16 models of Toro push mowers.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. But then the guy gave me a different number altogether, mm-hmm. which I don't remember at all right. because it was a...
But I bet you will. You're going to... Oh, he probably get you an RJ8C. But that's for... Oh, here it is. I found it. RJ8C.
Yeah.
That is for the 4 horsepower... the K91 Kohler engine. What came out of it? Oh, yeah, I found the Denso. I found actually 1, 2, 3, 4 different cross-reference spark plugs for that.
Okay, and I forget. I don't know whether I don't know what the make of this spark plug was. It was K. It had like KCG on it, which I'm thinking maybe it's a Kohler spark plug.
The original one. Yeah.
No. I'm talking about the new one I bought. It wasn't a Champion.
Oh, okay. All I have here is Champions, Kohlers, and Denzos.
Hmm. There's Michael.
Here he is.
He's back, and he's in his house, I think. Are you?
I'm in the
house?
Man cave.
Oh, you're in the man cave. Oh, okay.
For once.
I was looking at your little picture.
I'm in the man cave.
I saw your little picture, and I wasn't sure, but now you're in the large picture, and I can see it's the man cave.
Yeah, no, I don't. Is it this microphone? Tap, tap, tap. Or is it this microphone?
It's that microphone.
On the earbuds.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if the MacBook was smart enough to realize there was the Mac mic on the earbuds or not, so that's cool.
that mic's got some good sound quality.
Yeah, for what it is, you know?
Yeah, well, I haven't got my mixer back yet. It's temporary and loan on a contract job. I should have it back this next week. Anyhow, well, it turns out that there was a Verizon tower that's not... That one that was giving me trouble is just, for all practical purposes, done. So, which cut my my short range that I normally can talk to you guys on the way to Copper Harbor down by another 15 minutes.
Oh, excellent.
Wow. That'll keep you on your toes.
Yeah, you got
but
you.
I'm in the man cave for the first time in how many shows?
Yeah.
And I have placed an order with number two son for a bottle of Merlot and a glass.
Ah.
Showing up
very
soon.
Good.
They dropped me off on the way through.
Ah.
So let me pull up the show notes, and have I got some stories for you.
Yeah.
That I would normally reserve for, I'm getting Niantic reports here.
Uh-oh, you're being hit.
I'm being attacked.
Yep.
Tough. I'll go back and take
That's
it.
Funny, Joel. Joel called me, when was it? Was that Thursday? You called me on Thursday, right?
Yep.
On the way home from work, and I was doing my usual round and playing some Ingress on the way home. And I was going to a portal I'd never been to before, so I was like, how do I get to it, you know? And I said, oh, man, it's a freaking business. I wonder if they'll mind if I go in their parking lot.
and I'm listening to all this going, well, I think I'll just park here. No one's going to mind. What if I walk in and look in at this window? And I mean, all this. Is this door unlocked? I mean, I'm waiting to hear that one next.
There are issues with portals on private property. I don't know how come this is not getting sorted out. But.
Well, they're also, we've got a lot of older portals that were started here that are fire departments, which I feel really bad about going after. Matter of fact, if they're doing a practice or something like that, and I'm coming up there, if I can't like park across the street and get to it, or anywhere away from them, I won't do it, because I'm also leery, even when nobody's there, to pull into their parking lot, because I don't want to be there if an emergency happens. And now There's talk, Niantic has been talking about, it's been said that they're no longer accepting fire departments as portals. And I wouldn't be surprised if they don't take the fire department portals away. Because that is dangerous.
That's a good idea, actually. I don't think people should be hanging around fire department parking lots. They're not meant to be public property.
No, and you don't want to be in the way in an emergency. So, luckily, at Milford, the fire department...
And we have no way moving you out. We have no problem moving you out of the way if you're in the way.
Yeah, yes, exactly. In Milford, the good thing is that they have... theirs is on a very narrow street... And right across the street from there is public parking. It's like the town public parking. So I can pull into there, and I'm still in range of the portal. So I don't mind doing that. But, there's a couple of the little towns. Like, I went up to Lineboro, and it's like, first of all, they don't have a parking lot. And second of all, it's like I had to pull over on the side of the road, and it's a narrow road up there to hit it. And I said, I'm not touching this one anymore. it can go green and stay green as far as I'm concerned, if somebody wants to do that. But I just don't feel good about doing that at a fire department. So, but anyway, So have you figured out who's attacking? Well, you know who's attacking your portals.
I didn't stay there long enough to look, because I was worried about bringing your show notes up, which is what I'm doing now.
Okay.
So I have video, I have audio, I'm in the man cave, and I have show notes.
Wow.
All I need is alcohol.
Okay.
Well, it's on its way.
We're down past the lawnmower spark plug issue, which we just finished up. So we're almost done.
Yeah, well, at least I got here before you finished this week.
Yeah.
I saw it all unfolding tonight, and I'm like, oh, my God, not again. I can't remember the last time I was on time or had full connectivity for a show. So I apologize to our 4.3 listeners about that.
Well, that's
the on-time part used to be my gig.
Yeah. But since we moved it to 8, you've been on. You're early most of the time now.
I try. I will be late. Yeah. As soon as I get my bike out, you know, I can almost guarantee you there'll be times I'm going to be late.
Yeah, yeah. But the Saturday thing is seems to be working because, you know, except for once
normally,
in a while.
Really, it is good for me. Believe it.
Yeah.
But after the last, like, 6 months.
Well, I'll tell you, I almost canceled for tonight because I was still, you know, my short weekends in the summertime are very difficult to make it, you know, because, I've been staying late at work, too, in the past week and a little bit. And then I play Ingress on the way home. That doesn't help. but I get home, and I haven't had time. Matter of fact, I put last week's podcast out today. So it's out. I haven't had time to make show notes. I haven't time to do research on it. I haven't picked music, you know, all that stuff I like to have done before the podcast. And, plus I was still, you know, the only thing that was a saving grace here this afternoon was it rained, and that kind of canceled a bunch of stuff I was supposed to do this afternoon. So, I was able to catch up and get everything going. I don't have problems on my 3-day weekends because, you know, I've got Friday and usually, and I can stay up late on Thursday nights to catch up usually. So that's what I usually do. And, it's just difficult on these short weekends, you know.
Damn. Oh, yeah. You know what? My heart bleeds. For you and your short damn weekends, which are all of our weekends.
Joel, what's a 3-day weekend? Are you familiar with this concept?
I've read about it in a book from Tom Clancy once, but I have, you know, actually that's not true because I had a taste of one last weekend because we had Monday off, fortunately, and I realized something. I really, really like them.
Yeah, last weekend was a 5-day weekend for me. So
I heard that when you put it. Oh my god! Yeah, I had to go register my car. So what'd you do? I took 5 days off. I listened and I was listening to the podcast and I'm driving up to Lowe's and I'm like, yeah, you know, yeah, I had to go register my car. So you took 5 days off.
No, I took one day.
Oh, most.
Because I had my eye laser thing on Friday, so I couldn't do it a normal off Friday. So I said, geez, I got to get all this stuff done. So I took Thursday off. I get 4 weeks vacation a year.
I love that. You know, I got to get my car inspected. I'm taking 5 days off. Well, you know what? If I got to get the chimney sweeped, I'm taking the whole month off. That's the way it is.
You know,
hey, I help you, you got to call Roto-Rooter.
I take snow days.
We got roots in the pipes the whole year. Shot to hell. Yeah.
It's okay. I get that much vacation.
There's another concept I'm not familiar with.
Vacation?
I'm self-employed, remember?
Oh, that's right. You don't. There's
I technically
no
never have a day off, actually. Yeah.
That's true.
The last time my beautiful bride and I were on an actual, if you want to call it vacation, was 10 years ago.
Wow. 10 years ago? You don't count going to visit your dad down in North
Carolina? That's not considered a vacation.
Okay.
That's an adventure in obligation to family. That's not a vacation.
I'd say family obligation there.
Vacation is sitting somewhere with a drink that has a little umbrella in it as you listen to either water lap against the shore or birds chirp in the trees. And the biggest decision you're going to make that entire day is, will I have the pepper steak or will I have the ham? Dinner. That's the big decision that I want to make.
Wow. Jeez, yes, that's true. Well, I really haven't had that kind of vacation in a while either. We just usually...
You were just in Hawaii a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Well, actually, you want to hear something shocking?
Although, that was a work trip.
Yeah, it was actually... It was actually 8 years ago.
That wasn't 8 years ago, was it?
It was 8 years ago.
Oh, my God. Am I old and now I'm senile?
Yeah. Yeah. Believe it or not, it doesn't seem like it.
The little hula girl that you had given me.
Yeah.
You brought back from Hawaii, as well as the fridge magnet, which for years I had to hide because I didn't want my son to see it. But if you remember what was on it.
I'm trying to remember. What the heck did we get you?
It was all the, what do you call it? The suntan lotion girls topless.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't have my kids, my son see, because I have free, we collect fridge magnets from all over. And that was one that could not go on the door. It had to go on top of the fridge. Otherwise, he'd be sitting here just staring at the refrigerator for hours on end.
Yeah, I could see that, yeah.
And he gave me one of those little dashboard hula girls, you know, that have the little grass skirt. To this day, I still have that on the shelf to the left side next to my end table in my bedroom. The little whatever Debbie doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That brings back some. That was 8 years ago? Holy crap.
Yep. Believe it or not.
Wow.
Time flies, man. I'm telling you, the older you get, the faster time goes.
Where did all 8 years go?
I know. Yeah, that was pre-late night QRM.
Yeah.
But we were doing radio QRM at that time.
We were, yeah.
So, yeah. It's been a long time. You know, it's next year we'll be podcasting for 10 years.
Yeah,
this is the year. It's the 10-year anniversary of the actual start of podcasting, where the early guys like Adam Curry and those guys got started, and they all started in 2014 or 2004.
Okay?
Then we started hearing about it and say, "Oh, I could do that too." And we started in 2005. So.
Yeah, at the beginning of 2000, you're holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm old, dude. What the hell happened? I used to be cool. You know?
Used to be young, too, you know?
Yeah, I used to be. Now, I'm looking at, I can see my own, in the little picture here on Google Hangout, and I'm looking at all the grays, and like, it's all gray coming through, and I'm like, wow. Well,
you want to get a kick, go look at the our Music Alley picture. I've got a picture of you and I in one picture up here in the QRM studios.
Yeah.
On the profile picture. Oh my God. And that was from 2005, I think.
Oh man. I'm going there now.
Yep. It's been a long time. So
Michael, I don't mean to interrupt, Barry. I'm chomping at the bit to hear what he's got to say.
Well, I didn't want to preempt your note there because you got this week in entertainment, and I figured I'd get my thoughts together. And I'm not gonna run out of cell phone range right now.
That's what I was worried about. I'm like, no,
no,
the internet will drop.
No, but he's in the man cave, so we're good. So you want to do
Now roll into it. You hit the bumper.
Entertainment last month.
Yep.
Do it.
It's a pretty
bad. Oh, wait a minute. I was still dancing.
It's a pretty bad cutoff.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I am Joel, one of your hosts of Last Month in Entertainment. And last week, last month.
Something. Entertainment last month.
Well, him too. So anyway, the show that I tripped across, actually, again, a pick by my beautiful bride, who seems to really find these good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Be found on Amazon Prime, the show Carnival, which originally aired on HBO. It was a series that ran from 2003 to 2005. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a quick synopsis real quick based from our friends at IMDb, which is during the Great Depression, an Oklahoma farm boy and a charismatic minister learn that they are key players in a proxy war being fought between heaven and hell. Now, this show is really, it's not corny in any way, shape, or form. It is the character development. I want to say it took a little longer than I expected. I mean, I started at episode one, season one, and really had to give it a full three episodes. And now you're not going to find a lot of, you're not going to find the explosions and gunshots and helicopter chases and all whole nine yards. This is a watcher. This is a thinker. And with minor twists and turns, if you will, in the plot. I haven't come across any what I want to call 180s on itself yet. But it's good. It's really, really good. It's a traveling carnival. And with the folks that are in this carnival, a.k.a. carnies, one of them, which is this farm boy who escaped from a chain gang down in the deep south. It takes place during the late 1800s, early 1900s. Actually, I think it's more so the early it's the early 1900s.
Okay.
So it was when this is all going on. And they're going from town to town to town, which, let's face it, a lot of it was undeveloped compared to, you know, nowadays in 1930 and 1920. Mm-hmm. But the story, the plot, it's definitely a good versus evil. The only thing is the kid doesn't know he's on the good guy side. And I only know that because I read ahead. I haven't got to that episode yet.
Okay.
I went ahead and did a little research here. And he can heal. And as he's healing people along the way, once here, one here, but it takes a toll. It taxes him. And but I'll be honest with you, I'm into this show big time, and it was one of the reasons why I went to watch it last night. I've not gotten quite to season two, when my intermittent internet kept kicking in and out, and that's what set me off like a rocket when the internet dumped out and I was in the middle of an episode. I'm like,
I know what you mean.
I'm rewiring the whole damn thing, and that was 12 o'clock last night after two rather large rum and cokes. But so give this one. I know I've said it before. Give it a watch. I try to give you be a decent gauge sounding board as far as how many episodes before you'll either say no, this is a pile of rubbish, or yes, I want to continue on with it. In this particular television program, I would have to say give it three episodes.
Okay, it takes a while to get into it.
Give it the full three episodes. Okay. Other shows I've mentioned, you're like, one and a half into it, which I think was Defiance. This one takes a little while longer for you to start to sink your teeth into the characters and the story. So give it three.
Okay.
I think you're going to like it.
Okay, and it's on Amazon, did you say?
It is on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
You can look up, all their different information. I mean, the creator is Daniel Knopf. He's also one of the main writers of this. I tell you, it's a damn good story. I think if it were in book form, and it very well may be, but I don't think it is, I could see where it would be a dry read at spots.
Okay.
So, but because it's the show and you're watching the different, and plus it's HBO, so there's good nudity in it.
Oh, really? It was an HBO.
An HBO show. So it's from 2003 to 2005. You don't want to watch it when the little ones are in the room.
I'll check to see whether it's also available on HBO Go for people who get that, because they've got a bunch of their old shows right on HBO Go.
It might be. I don't have HBO Go. I said I'm doing it off of Amazon Prime, but
I'll check it.
Definitely. Yeah, give it a watch. Yeah. I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Okay. Cool. Very good. Another good entertainment last month show.
Last week, last month, whatever.
Okay, so now we're down to Michael.
Yeah.
I don't have a theme for you, Michael.
That's okay. Well, I'll tell you when to kick off the other theme.
Okay.
But to start off, we'll give you a little background. As you know, I might be involved in more than one or two organizations in my spare time.
Yeah.
And one of them... is I'm the president of the Calumet Copper Kings High School Band Parents Association. And have I given you guys a background on what the essence of that is? I might have. That's why I'm asking.
You might have,
I think,
but
off air.
Yeah.
What?
I don't remember whether it was on air or off air, so you might as well go ahead, and if it's a review, it's a review.
Yeah, real quick background is that the Band Parents Association has been around for decades, and we do what we can to support the band, you know, whatever it takes as far as uniforms or upgrades to the equipment they've got, although pretty much that's all handled by the school now. But one of the main things we do as a fundraiser is every 4 years we send the entire band at no charge to Disney World, mm-hmm. provided they make the cut. So as long as the band members stick it out for the 4 years in the high school, and it's a rotating 4 years. So in my oldest son's case, it was his sophomore year that he got to go.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point is that if they stick out 4 years, we send the entire group. That is a tremendous fundraising
right.
task to do. The last bunch that we sent out 2 years ago was about $65,000.
Wow.
Wow.
To do the trip. Lodging, tickets,
that's a lot
buses,
of car washes.
Insurance. And that's one thing that we don't do.
Oh, really?
Probably should look into it. But yeah. We do roast beef dinners. We do soup and salads. We sell pasties. We do scrap metal drives. That's almost continuous.
Right.
All kinds of fundraising events that we continuously do during the year. And myself and the other band parents are organizing this.
That was pasties, you said?
Yes. Pasties.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
P-A-S-T-Y, yes, okay. Yes. Don't confuse that with something else.
What? Okay, I'm going to show my ignorance here.
It's a traditional Cornish food used specifically up here by the miners, because they cook these pastries with meat and vegetables in them.
Okay.
And put them in their lunch buckets and eat them for lunch and dinner while they're
down in mines. And my wife thinks, hot's better. My wife, when she came over from England, she's like, here, I'm making pasties, but I don't know if I have the right flour. And I said, what the hell is a pasty? And it had corned beef and potato and onion in it, which are three things I absolutely love. Oh, and a pastry.
Uh-huh.
And she said, miners in England, before they closed down the mines, same thing, Michael, back in the 1800s, it's boom, and all the way up through that and jam sandwiches, because miners are so, their taste buds and their mouths are so coated in coal dust that jam and pasties were pretty much two guaranteed foods that they could taste.
Right, and up here, it was copper mining, so they didn't have the coal dust issue, but they still had plenty of dust.
Yeah,
yeah, you think?
Mining is mining.
Yes,
yes.
So there's a lot of dirt between those pieces.
It's a very traditional food, and the pasty food is actually how the ISP got its start. That's it's another story.
I was wondering about that.
Do a segment on that sometime.
Yeah.
But so we've got these continuous fundraisers going on, and plus we do all the support for the football games and the spring concerts, the fall concerts, and important stuff like that's not us, it's the band, but like the band did several appearances to support Memorial Day services last Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So the students have a really good lesson in why there is a holiday, and it has nothing to do with cooking steaks in the backyard, although that's not a bad thing to do later in the day. But we're up early in the sunrise services, paying tribute to those that have made our country what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, one of the things that we do last couple years, besides the scrap metal drives and all these dinners that we arrange, is we do a spring rummage sale. And it always seems to come together at the last second, which is the last thing we want at the end of the year, because one of the reasons why I was late today is some of my son's friends were having graduation parties from the high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the rummage sale was scheduled for this morning, and since Christmas, I have been sending out notes to the parents. Think about things you want to put in the sale. Set them aside. We'll have drop-off points. We'll have drop-off points. We'll give you plenty of notice. 6 weeks ago, I start sending out, okay, there's going to be drop-off points here, there, and there. Then about 4 weeks ago, I give the addresses and the times they can drop stuff off. Mm-hmm. So that we would have time to prepare all of this. And then Thursday night and Friday night of this week, all the band parents got together, the board members got together to sort and price items. Thursday night, we show up at the main garage where everything was stored, and we walk into this echo.
Oh, no. You're frozen.
Are you serious?
It always happens, man. It always it's happens.
Garage.
There is pictures here, so we're gonna have to wait for him to connect.
You can't hear me
now. We can.
Now came back.
You just came back. You went. You said echo. Echo.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, with the.
So
okay.
You
so
finished
wait,
off at the echo.
The video was getting longer and longer. I was wondering if that was going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, here comes your Merlot.
Ooh, so Merlot delivery.
I hope she brought a glass. Yes, she did. She just can't be
I'm drinking out of the bottle.
Thank you. All right. And a wine glass. Anyhow, so, yes, we walk into this garage, and echo, echo, echo. I didn't freeze this time, right?
Nope.
Okay. Right. And in the middle of this two-car garage is a single plastic JCPenney bag with some clothes in it. That was as of 6:30 night of this week. And we're looking at each other going, this is going to be a really short sale. So my friend goes, well, you know, well, house, his parents are deceased, and he's been cleaning the house, getting it ready for sale. He goes, well, there's something. My dad used to run a music store. Let's see what we can find. So we pull out this box. And it literally, it's 40-year-old guitar strings.
Wow.
Gibsons and Black Diamonds.
Wow.
And Fender. But 110 sets were still in vacuum-sealed bags.
Really?
Those now, things are worth some coin. That's some professional
artists.
Yeah,
well, back
artists.
In the 70s, yeah, back in the 70s, these things were going for $7.95 a packet. So I said, well, you know, there's I play guitar, I play fiddle, I'm familiar with stringed instruments. There were also some saxophone reeds in there that were not fit for human use anymore.
but, probably green.
I'll do some research. I said, yeah, I'm concerned about the strings do age.
Mm-hmm.
But after digging around on the internet, I found that, in fact, if they're in vacuum-sealed bags, they're still probably good. There's no guarantee, but they're probably good. And as I said, there were over 100 sets.
Wow.
Not just strings, 100 sets of strings.
Wow.
For guitars, for basses, for mandolins, for violins. So that was a good start. And we started digging through stuff, and pretty soon we came up with a nice little pile. It was a very little pile, but we came up with a nice little thing as a starter. And I put out another notice and said, okay, you know, we really need donations all day Friday. You know, garage is open. Bring them in. Well, I actually, you know, I've got this work thing I got to do, so I'm busy working on Friday, and I show up about 6:15. We tell everybody at 6:30 is the next starting time yesterday evening, and I walk in, and there's the same pile of stuff that we had with the addition of a couple of suitcases, and yep, the band director came in and dropped off a load, and I said, anything else? Nope. And then at 6:30 last night, just like last year, a stream of stuff started coming in. So we were sorting and pricing until much later last night than we wanted to, because we wanted to get a head start on it, because after we get done with everything last night, I had to come home, which is an hour drive, and then be there by 7 a.m. this morning, actually about 6:30, mm-hmm. to start setting up, which would make for a very short night. But we did get a continuous stream of things coming in. So finally we have enough that looks like we've got a sale. Chris is driving me back. We're in the family truckster. Surprise. And we come through town, and I see the lights of the Brickside Brewery are still on. And I said, she goes, yeah, I'll drop you off at the door. I was not in a good mood. Things were, there were some business issues with one of my major clients this week too that wasn't helping any. So I stopped in. I had a beer. Actually, I did have two of the Turkish coffee. I think I've talked to you guys about.
I think so. Yes. Yes.
Yes, that's the cold brewed coffee mixed with porter beer. It's awesome. And but mostly I just talked to my friends there, and over the course of about an hour and a half that I probably should have been sleeping, I lowered my blood pressure, had a much better view on the world.
And, I like that.
It was like about that. Midnight, because she dropped me off about 10:30, so it was about midnight when I left there. And I just told my wife, I said, thank you, I'll walk home. So it's about a mile and a half walk from there through the woods. And... you know, once you, the Brookside Brewery is on the northeastern part of Copper Harbor, right on the edge of town. So as soon as you leave the lights of the brewery, you're in the dark. And I did proceed to record an episode of the podcast that shall not be named on my way home last night. We'll see. It's a little rambling. You know, I did have two pints in me, and it was a long walk in the dark. But so I'll put a disclaimer on that, but I think I will publish that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Cool.
Got home last night. My wife was still sorting stuff because she was busy running the kids around and everything, so that she didn't have everything ready. So I had three really big bags, actually four really big bags of stuff to bring in this morning when I dropped off. So I get to bed by about 1:30, 2 o'clock this morning. My alarm goes off at 5. So I can get ready to get out the door at 6, actually about 5:45, so I can get there in time. And I'm driving to town. Cue. Good evening, and this is Michael, the Virtual Yeeper, and I don't have the script in front of me, so I don't have the faintest idea how to introduce this segment, but I'll go ahead and wing it anyhow.
We wing it all the time.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. So, buzzing into town this morning with a Jeep loaded full of spring rummage sale. It's about 6:15 at this point. I've been driving through the woods for a while. And the dashboard starts flashing at me.
Uh-oh.
This is a different flash. This is beeps and buzzes and you know, check gauges. And I'm like, okay, and I'm driving along, and I'm driving along. I got fuel. Yep. Alternator's good. Yep. Oil pressure's zero. Yep. Temperature's
zero.
Oh, Michael, back up one here. Oil pressure's zero. Ah! And I'm thinking,
crap,
I'm out in the middle of nowhere again. What the hell? I drive about another 2 minutes, and I'm figuring, well, I don't know if I got a gauge problem here or an engine problem. And all of a sudden, I see the pressure slowly start coming up, and then it overshoots. It goes up to about 20 psi over what it normally is. And then it comes back down again, and it settles in at about 10 to 15 below what it normally reads. But it's got pressure again.
All right.
Now, the last long-distance trip I took with the Jeep, I spent a good part of the trip between Milwaukee and Green Bay at about 20 PSI. I could not get the pressure up. So I've seen this drop before. So I don't know if I've got a sensor issue or if I've got a failing oil pump. But the pressure did come up enough where I made it to town. Got to the rummage sale this morning. We just cranked on the sales. Almost nothing was left when it was done. It was a great rummage sale. But
awesome.
I figured I'd wait till my wife was up, had her breakfast, had my youngest son's baseball game before I broke the news to her that I didn't think it was safe to drive the Jeep home.
Wow.
One of the reasons why I was not home and happy with a glass of wine already in the man cave tonight, rummage sale and visiting graduation parties this afternoon, is that we had a nurse the Jeep down to my favorite mechanic again, drop it off in his driveway with no warning, and I would call him Monday morning and said, "Hey, don't know if this is simple or this is serious, but this is what happened. Guess what?"
Jeez.
So, yeah, the Jeep is. I do actually have a mechanic looking at either rebuilding the block or finding a replacement. But he's like, you know, the more you drive it like this, the more we're looking at a replacement. Just the block is damaged, so we're kind of trying to figure out what to do.
Junkyard motor.
But, well, it's a little better than a junkyard, but yeah.
Well, I'm saying, when I say junkyard motor, so you find one that's been smashed up in the butt, in the rear end, that some insurance company wrote off with a perfectly good engine in it, and you go to a boneyard and you have them pull the motor and use that.
Yep, yep. So I've got the search on now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just didn't think it was a good time, a good choice to drive it back to the house. If it's a sensor issue, it's no big deal. But you know, do you want to count on that? Do you feel lucky, Uber? Yeah.
And when the engine's sitting there spewing all sorts of fluids everywhere, and
it's burning antifreeze, burning oil. It's starting to leak power steering fluid. I just had to replace a ball joint. I think I told you guys.
Yes, yeah, you told us about that last week.
And I still have steering issues. I'm not giving up on it. There's nothing you can't rebuild on a Jeep.
You need a new engine. That's all you need. It's
I need some front end components now. Okay. Yes.
Well, a new engine and some front end components. And a new frame and a body.
No, frame's good.
And
frame's
a new top.
Well, I think the hard top's okay. The hard top's done.
But the hitch is fine.
The hitch.
The radiator cap is just in prime condition.
The radiator cap.
Just jack that thing up and put a new Jeep underneath it.
I just want to put a warning out to parents that Michael's story did contain some sex and violence parts.
Thank you for reminding me about that, because this morning, as soon as the sale opens up, I don't know how. I mean, it's like this guy could smell it. This guy with long hair, tall, skinny guy with a Beatles shirt.
Oh, so you mistook him for me.
Oh, yeah.
long hair and skinny.
And walks right to the table where the box is with the guitar strings in it.
Uh-huh.
Right? He flips open the lid and he's like, "How much do you want for all of them?" And I said, I was going to put $4 a set down on the strings, and I said, and that's actually a really good price.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, but I'm willing to buy them all. And I said, well, you do realize how old these strings are. And he said, well, I do recognize, the age of the packaging and stuff. And long story short, after a lot of negotiation, he offered $250 for the entire box of strings. Now, we could have gotten more than that for him, but if we sold them all, yeah. I mean, given enough time over Craigslist, we would have sold them all.
Okay.
But this was $250 cash up front, and he was willing to take them as is, realizing that they were 40 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
Bam, they went.
Wow.
There was also an entire box of 78s.
Holy cow, really?
Victor Victrola 78s.
What kind of music?
Doesn't matter. It's still worth a fortune.
Yeah, a lot of big band, I'll tell you that.
Ah, okay. That was the 45 of the day back.
Yeah, that went. That went as an entire box. Once somebody saw that and went, holy cow, they were gone.
Yeah, I believe that.
Then there was another box of 45s.
Mm-hmm.
And with the exception
of they're the 78s of the 60s.
Definitely trying to go somewhere with this.
Yeah, the entire box is 45s, with the exception of maybe two records, were all Elvis and Janet and Dean 45s.
Wow.
That went as a box, too.
Wow. Jeez.
So you find the right person. Now, some of the kids were looking at this going, what is this stuff?
What is this?
What is this thing?
Hey, look, they're frisbees.
Yeah, yeah, really. And then really got confused by an
acorn. Oh,
geez. What's this?
That is cutting edge technology, son.
Yep.
The 8-track. That was the LP of the 80s. 70s.
Yeah, with commercial interruptions, with no commercials. Yeah, to this day, I cannot listen to Pink Floyd "The Wall" without inserting the pauses between the track switches.
I was just gonna say, you're in the middle of a song, and all of a sudden it's like it stops for a second here, and then the music picks up again.
My Monte Carlo, my 72 Monte Carlo had an 8-track player in it, and I had, needless to say, I grabbed a bunch of, I had 8-tracks. And I'm just 16 years old driving down the street, and I hear, tin, 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 I was playing Led Zeppelin. You know, I love Black Dog. What the hell, man? I got all these speakers and amps, and I'm just jamming in my Monte Carlo. And it's like, okay, well, let's go up to the next track. Boom, jumps to the end. What the hell? I screamed. I got so pissed off, I ripped it out of the dashboard and threw it out the window driving over the Susquehanna River.
Excuse me. I got to say, speaking of music and everything, I am really enjoying the hell of Up in This Head.
Yes.
Up in This Brain.
What is that?
What's the guy's name? Jason.
It's Jason. But now we're just forgetting his podcast name. I am enjoying the hell out of that. That is so good.
Yep.
Oh, I listened to one today. Actually, I was listening to one when I was running, and it was great. It was really good. I love it. So, I'm gonna have to email him and tell him. You got a new listener. Definitely a new listener.
He's got me too. So he's got two.
Yeah. Well, he listens to us too. So.
Oh, does he?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Haven't you heard him refer to Late Night QRM on his show?
Yes.
I may be Barry a few behind.
So, okay. Yes.
Okay.
So, Jason, yes, we listened to you. Cool.
Yes, yeah. Actually, he had me, after listening to Jason when he had his second podcast, where it was not the last little one that he had when the kids were, they hadn't shown up yet, his kids plus a friend over, but the one where he was driving and had another CD, I went digging and I found out, I was trying to, because I'm like, oh, man, I remember that song. Oh, yeah, I remember that song. And I started digging around trying to find my old Fleetwood Mac albums, because I'm like, I gotta burn all these onto a DVD and put them on a jump drive. Put them on my iPhone.
Yeah.
But it's he had me thinking about it. And you know what I also did, which is I want to say thank you very much to you, Barry, and you, Michael. I then, after listening to Jason on Up in This Brain, turned around, looked at iTunes Radio, mm-hmm. picked 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. as where I wanted to hear the music from. You know, I haven't stopped listening to it yet. Every time I get in the car, if I'm either listening to a podcast mm-hmm. or it's iTunes Radio, 70s, 80s.
And if you, in iTunes Radio, is that the iTunes Radio one, or is that the old one where K-Rob, you used to be able to listen to K-Rob?
No, I listen to iTunes Radio.
Because K-Rob kind of disappeared. It did. It's now been replaced by a 70s, 80s, 90s. It still says K-Rob, but in that area, so I don't know what happened, but maybe...
Something changed it, and then it's got call letters Q. Was it QAC?
Yeah, Q something, yeah.
Q something.
Right. I still listen to it at work because it beats anything I can get on a real radio station here,
right.
But let's see. I can't. I'm using a version of iTunes that the company allows. That's probably 5 or 6 years old. You can't download the latest. Every time I bring it up, it says, "Oh, you need to upgrade to this." It's like, no, I can't. They won't let me. You know, and they have to have iTunes because they have iPads for work,
right?
And they have iPhones.
iPhones that they're issuing out as company phones, so you have to have iTunes.
But they haven't approved any of the newer versions yet. So I should try again.
What are you running on the iPads? You're running iOS 5.
I don't know.
Because, I mean,
know.
the version of iOS is tied really tight into the version of iTunes.
Oh, they probably don't care about that.
Wow.
You know, they probably run an iOS 7 on the iPads. But, yes, yeah, we can't up. We just got off of XP. Windows XP. Yeah. We just upgraded to Windows 7. And actually, there's a couple of the other systems that are still running XP. They're supposed to be upgraded to Windows 7 in the next month or so. So,
well, you don't want to rush into these things.
No, no. You know, a high-tech company doesn't want to rush into things like this.
I got some robots at work that are still running on Windows 95.
Okay.
And I can't update them any higher.
Oh, man. Wow. That's incredible.
Well, you know, if they're not officially online, although they're probably in your network, aren't they?
Believe it or not, no, I segregated them. They're off our network.
Okay.
Only due to the fact that they're complete standalones. I even have to do the backups on a jump drive.
What?
Well, that's not bad then.
A what?
A jump drive, thumb drive.
Oh, a thumb drive. Okay. I thought there used to be this thing called a jump drive back in about the Windows 95 era. And I said,
Well, oh my God,
you're still using a jump drive?
Well, I'm showing my age because that's what I call it, a jump drive. But a USB thumb drive, I actually put a USB 2.0 card inside the chassis of the computer.
Okay.
And then had a hell of a time trying to find drivers. So it would work. And then once I got it to work, that's how I actually, because the only other way I had to back it up before then was on a 3.5-inch floppy drive.
Jeez.
Disk after disk after disk.
Yeah.
So you didn't have a zip drive handy, huh?
Well, I don't know. You know how hard it is to find a zip drive now?
I don't think you can. Well, we're not allowed to use thumb drives. When the government banned them, they were banned from us too. So we buy stacks and stacks and stacks of CDs and DVDs, mostly DVDs now. If you need to transfer something from one computer to the next, you burn a DVD and then throw it out.
No, and that's cutting edge for you.
Yeah. If you got here's a 2K file for you. Let me burn a DVD with it. Okay, there you go. Okay, now throw it out.
What a friggin' how ludicrous is that? Every time you go to a trade show, they give away thumb drives, 2 gig thumb drives for free with a cup of coffee.
And viruses, packed with viruses. that's the reason.
But there's nothing stopping a virus from transferring to a DVD either.
Exactly. Viruses transfer on DVDs.
Yeah, they're more concerned about people bringing thumb drives in that already have viruses on them from the manufacturer or whatever. There was an episode where that happened, and the government said, no more thumb drives.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah.
That was in the Pentagon, wasn't it?
So I think so. And so, you know, we said, no more thumb drives. So
no soup for you!
Yeah. We try to keep everything in between network, you know, on network systems. But sometimes we have to go to another network. You cut a DVD, and then it has to be scanned and everything before it goes to the network.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
And then somebody with a fountain pen has to write it all down on paper, but it has to be parchment.
Yes.
And with their left foot.
Yeah.
And in triplicate.
That's right. And then it has to be thrown out and destroyed.
And then, but then it has to go to the mimeograph machine.
Yes.
And then you have to make some mimeographs.
Mimeograph. We used to call them ditto machines, but yes, mimeograph. They always, you smell the paper afterwards.
Oh, yeah, you can get stoned on it. Yeah, man, let's take a test. Every time the teacher would say, all right, class, so who wants to go to the office to make some copies? Everybody puts their hand up, and you're sitting there. Got the automatic drum.
Yep.
Rather than the one you had to turn by hand. And then so the automatic drum one was gone. And you got the stack of copies. And by the time you get back to the class, they hand them to the teacher. You know, your eyes are bloodshot. And you really have no, you couldn't even remember what the room number was that you were headed back to.
I mean, if you remember in the classroom when she, when the teacher would pass out the tests, of course, we're all in rows, right? So she'd pass, you know, pile to each person in the front row. And
pass it back.
And as the tests were being passed back, you could hear just a chorus of... And it made its way across the room. You know?
And then the whole classroom for a split second basically was nothing more than a side bong hit. Because all the toner was used on it. And if you were the lucky little bastard that went and got the copies, you were rip shit for at least until lunchtime.
Yeah.
At least until lunch, you're like, hey, man, what's going on?
I got a toner high, man.
Exactly. I love making copies, man. I like to help out. Now I'm going to go to wood shopping with a teacher with three fingers and go work on power tools.
That's so true. Always a woodshop teacher with three fingers.
Exactly. Three fingers.
And that was the first class. You held up his hand, you know. You don't want this to happen to you.
Exactly. I'm like, you know, who are you to be teaching me, dude? Apparently, you don't know when to stop pushing your fingers in the blade.
This is why we always use push sticks. Right. Wear your goggles.
Wear safety glasses. Really? Did that help you with the second, third, and fourth digit?
Yeah. The same teacher with the scar on right next to his eye, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Safety is first. They can't always sew it back on. Oh, Jesus. I love you. Like, what the hell, man? Oh, when I was used to sit in engine shop, because I was, if you hadn't figured it out, no, I wasn't a jock in school. I was a gearhead. I was a motorhead through and through. Heavy metal, music, speed metal, and building hot rods. And I mean, if it was a lawnmower, I could soup that fucker up to do 7,000 miles an hour. It would only do it for about a minute and a half before it created all over. Yeah. It would run. And, you know, honestly, you get an engine shop, and you always meet that one teacher, you know, honestly, guy, he's got, like, no fingernails on his right hand. And that's from having him dipped in antifreeze, kerosene, diesel fuel, and everything else. They got ripped off, and I remember watching an episode of Frasier when both Niles and Frasier went to an adult VOTEC class for engine maintenance because Kelsey Grammer's Frasier's Beamer broke down. He had no clue. He knew how to open the hood and look at it. And the engine shop teacher that they showed on that show reminded me of some of the ones that I had had. The guy's like long hair. It's like, hey, how you doing, guys? Right, this is what a camshaft does. And they were going to be the bad boys who sat in the back of the class. It brought back so many fond memories of just rebuilding shit and getting into angst and trouble. And God, I hope my kids don't listen to this. Anyway.
Sorry. Well, they didn't hear it. Nobody heard it but you guys. I've been coughing up a lung hair. I still have a touch of bronchitis. So.
But you're a runner now. You got the shirt.
That's right. I got the runner. I got this one in a blue shirt. On sale at Penny's.
Cool.
Yes. Even has the black stripe on the side.
See? I saw that. So it doesn't show runner. The perspiration.
Yeah. Is that what that's for? Never even thought about that.
Doesn't show perspiration when you're dying of sweat before you have the heart attack.
And it dries faster.
It does. Yeah, it's one of those with dry lock t-shirts.
Yeah. So it's comfortable. Very comfortable, too. But and now cars can see me, so they know what they're hitting.
Oh, my God. There's a 7-foot-tall Yeti wearing a fluorescent green shirt running on 124. And he just dropped his iPhone.
No, actually, I got... Okay. I don't know whether I said... Yeah.
The video would have been good for that.
Look, he really looks like he's running hard, but he's barely moving.
All that motion, he's only moved 13 inches.
He's taking very short steps. kind of like what's his name, Tim Conway on the Carol Burnett Show. Oh, that's going back. The old man yeah, he used is. To do.
Like, I gotta drink more whenever I'm doing these shows. I'm having a blast.
I just remember that Tim Conway old man.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, I'm not drinking them. I drank them. I need to refill.
Oh man. But actually, I got one.
I walked all over Michael's story. I feel bad now. I ought to put myself in the corner and refill my cup.
I got one of those bands that holds my iPhone on. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be, you know, the picture on it shows it, you know, this muscular guy, and he's got the thing on his arm. Right? Yeah, on his arm, and he's running with his iPhone right there on his forearm. Or not forearm, yep. But his
bicep.
Bicep.
Upper and, arm, bicep.
So I pull this thing out, and I say, well, cool, I don't want to really wear it there. I want to wear it down on my forearm. Right? Yep. And I say, I hope I can get it tight enough. Well, it's, I barely get my hand through the thing mm-hmm. with the strap, and I get it on there, and it's like at the skinniest part of my forearm is where it fits.
It's a bracelet.
But it's good because actually that's where I wanted to wear it. So it looks like when I'm running or jogging, it looks like I have a giant watch on, you know.
Well, you know, the picture of the guy that they have there on the front of the package.
Yeah.
Mr. Muscles. Let's call him Mr. Muscles.
Mr. Muscles.
Okay. Mr. Muscles is actually 5'5",
yeah.
153 pounds, with less than 0.3% body fat. He's 31 years old, and he ate a rice cake last week for his whole meal.
Yeah.
He exercises incessantly and stares in the mirror at himself about how beautiful he is. Now, that man is tiny. You are, let's hearken back to Yeti. Damn near 7 feet tall. We're not talking, you couldn't pass for dainty on a fucking good day, brother.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that my upper body strength is the best in the world, so I've got skinny.
You're proportionate. You're very proportionate. You're 6 foot, I don't know, you know, whatever the hell, nine, ten. Right. So your normal width bicep is the diameter of this guy's thigh. Remember, he's 5'2".
I guess. I don't know. It's just, it's funny as hell, though. But it fits nice on my wrist, and that's where I wanted to wear it. Because then as I'm running, I can just, you know, hold it up,
Michael,
like a watch.
Barry invented the iWatch. He's got the first iWatch.
That's right. I've got it already. Oh, God.
All right, I got to go fill up my sippy cup. I don't want to get parched.
Okay. Right. Well, we'll start talking about Apple news then while you're doing that.
No, talk about Ingress, because I don't give a crap about that.
Okay, we'll talk about Ingress. You will, especially this news. The new, I only have one.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Oh, yeah? Okay. This was coming from, actually, somebody had notes or saw notes about this, and it was also being bandied about all the Ingress sites with positive and negative thoughts about it. I was surprised how much positive was being said. Oh, I can really tell. I was cutting and pasting in that topic because it's we're doing that in a different order now. And remember last week I spilled a beer on my, well, it foamed up over my keyboard. Yeah, the V is sticking.
That must have happened while I was.
I told about it. It actually happened before the podcast. I had an IPA. Or as you said, an API in the video.
API, yes.
And I took a swig out of it, and then I put it on the table, but I kind of tapped it a little hard. And then I'm looking away, and then the next thing I look over, and it's like it's foaming up all over the place, and it's sitting right next to the keyboard, so the foam's going all into the keyboard. And So I quickly take the keyboard and turn it upside down, and I get a paper towel and kind of dip it out, but I just noticed my V is sticking a little. I'm going to have to work on that. Anyway, so back to Ingress. The announcement that was made, or the rumor that has been made is that Ingress may be coming to the iPhone as early as June 14th. And that would be, that means a whole nother group of people coming in and joining. So that could be interesting. Of course, it may be too many people, and in which case, I think I'm beginning to think they need to start a third faction.
Third faction, yeah.
You know, a red faction or something.
The white faction.
White faction?
For Apple.
Yeah, well, you let them join that one. Don't give them a choice. Yeah, but didn't they have to change the portal color? Because when the portal's not claimed, it's white. Well, it's kind of gray, but it's white. Yeah. I was thinking red.
That's why they call themselves grays, but yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that was the big news out of that. Other than that, I've been not playing as hard. I've been going after MUs more than AP now. Yeah, but I still did 400,000 this week, I guess.
400,000? Wow.
No, wait, excuse me, 200,000. Only 200,000.
Well, that's still... I'm still like 850 right now.
Okay, because I'm up to 1,400,000 and something. I'm almost up to 1,500,000. But it's like you need 2,400,000 and a bunch of merit badges to get to level 9. So I'm not really worried about it because they don't have any new things for the upper levels. I mean, you still... level 8 is the top for all the things, and I'm not sure what it buys you except for prestige. I haven't really read up on the new levels and what it buys you. I think it's just, you know, it's a matter of, oh, look, you know, he's wise. This one. And a bunch of people around here already leveled up because they've been playing so long as a level 8, they just automatically bumped up to whatever new level there are. There's a bunch of 10s, there's a bunch of 11s and 12s. Haven't seen much past 12 around here.
I see a lot of 9s and 10s. I don't think I've seen much more than that here.
So,
I'm kind of sweating it out because I don't know if you remember when I first reviewed it, but my original Nexus 7 that I've got was from the first build. Mm-hmm. And it's been a little buggy right from the get-go as far as the hardware is concerned.
Yeah.
And I've had to do a couple of hard resets on it lately to get it to come back to life. Occasionally the screen pixelates on it. Mm-hmm. So it looks like the scanner is failing in my portal here. So I'm hoping it hangs in there long enough for me to be able to cut over to my Apple iPhone as my main Ingress playing device. And by the way, Joel, my mixture for the night, I was looking while we were talking. I've got my Merlot that my wife was so nice to bring up to me.
Yeah.
And I still had that bottle of cream soda. So I combined the two, and you know, it's pretty darn good. Wow. Cream soda and Merlot.
Cream soda Merlot.
Yes. It's still, I mean, one of the best ones I've come up with yet is Dr. Pepper and Merlot. But Dr. cream soda Pepper. Merlot's pretty good.
That's, if I find myself with the right ingredients at the right time, I'll give it a whirl.
Just, you know, adds a little sparkle to it.
Wow, that's neat. Okay.
It was 80 degrees in town today. It's 55 here, but down at the sale, it was cooking.
Wow.
At least for us, that's like 100 degrees warmer than it was 8 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's not exaggerating.
Yeah, I got two more Ingress items, and they're actually social and not about the game that much. It's my nemesis, whose agent name is Coop d'Etat, and her husband Nimble. I met them last Sunday. They came down to attack. They made their way through Peterborough and were heading down toward Jaffrey to wipe out our portals. And as I saw them getting closer and closer to Jaffrey, I said, "I'm jumping in the car." So I jumped in the car and threw Sammy in the back seat. oh, and he's by the way, my my agent name is QRM, and well, he doesn't play the game, but he's for the comms area, he has a name. He's Fuzzy QRM. And so we get in the car and we go flying up, because I notice now, oh, they're up at Jaffrey Center, the townhouse at Jaffrey, or the townhouse at Jaffrey Center. And so we go town hall, whatever, that we go flying up there. And as they're coming down the road, I point to them. I see them. I point to them. I said, and I'm pointing, move over, move. So, and then she recognized, you know, it must be me, because she knows I live up in that area. So they pull over, and meanwhile, there's a church right across the street from this. So there's a bunch of cars. They all park along there. So I had to go up and turn around and come back. And meanwhile, they jumped out of the car, and they have three lovely young kids. They're probably in the early 30s, I would say. And so I was I was in the car, because I was still on the street a bit, so I had to stay in the car, but I rolled down the windows, and of course Fuzzy QRM was a big hit with the kids and everything, and we had a chat and it was great meeting the nemesis. our nemesis. And then Memorial Day, Jeffrey has a parade and a service at the two memorials, and I try to make it every year. I've missed a couple, but I went down there this time, and as I was going down there, my co-players that live in Jaffrey, their agent names are Peter Gunn 22 and Mrs. Gunn 22, and they said, oh, we're heading down too. I said, okay, well, I'm going to be there. I said, where do you want to meet? And he said, how about in front of the library? And I said, okay, I'll be probably the tallest person there. And he says, I look like a giant Smurf because I got a blue shirt on. And so yeah, so I met up with them, and we, you know, I stood with them for the memorial, the parade, and the service, and everything, and then we chatted probably for about 45 minutes to an hour afterwards. And mm-hmm. and he's retired Air Force too, and yeah, so it was fun to finally meet some of the players that I've been chatting with on the comms section of the game. So okay, that's my story for Ingress, and Ingress is now over until we get Joel involved in it when it comes to the iPhone.
If it does.
Yeah.
If it does.
Yeah. I think it will.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying, I think it will. I think this is probably I think what they're, it may not come, I don't know. They may announce it in June. It may wait until iOS 8 comes out. I don't know, you know.
Well, WWDC is this week.
Right.
Interesting.
It could be. But, yeah, but, you know, WWDC announces the new iOS. They'll talk about iOS 8, but it won't come out until September or October. You know, it always comes out a week before the new iPhones and iPads are released. So
that's actually, it's pretty observant.
Yeah. So, and because then they release it to developers, you know, with the non-disclosure things, you know. Right, Michael? Michael?
Wouldn't know.
Hello? Hello?
Michael?
Yes. Hello. I can hear you now.
And usually they let them play with it for 3 or 4 months before they release it, so... We'll see.
I think it'll be a smoother beta this year. I mean, they made a big mainstream change just before WWDC last year.
Right.
So the iOS 7 conversion was painful.
I don't think
for the developers.
I don't think there's going to be that many new things in iOS 8. I think there might be some enhancements, but there's not going to be an overall redo of the GUI and that stuff.
Now, do you have the WWDC app?
No. I had last year's.
Okay, well, update it, because the update will allow you to watch the content live.
And that's an interesting thing, because they are going to have the key...
keynote?
The keynote, and they're going to flow it live, which is a first, I think, for them. They usually... have it, and then it's available that night online. But they're actually going to stream it live. So that means there might be some big I don't know. I don't know with Apple anymore because they bought Beats.
What the?
I'm looking at that and I say, $3.5 or $3.2 billion, and I'm like, why? You know, you listen to people and they say, well, it's got Dr. Dre, so it's got all this, you know, all the kids love these things, but it's really a substandard set of.
Yeah, they suck.
Yeah. But the kids like them because they look cool. And it's like, well, that's.
Anybody who knows.
That is not the Apple way of doing things.
No.
You don't
put. It's superior equipment, superior technology. At least that's the way it has been.
Mm-hmm.
And.
That worries me.
Is a marketing gimmick subpar product.
Yes, and then they said, well, it's because they had the Beats radio or streaming service. But then I saw critics talking about that, and that was basically on life support.
300,000 subscribers.
Right.
The only thing I can see here, I mean, I'm just looking at the whole thing going WTF. It's like, to me, it's, and I've heard this said before, but I agree with it. It reeks of Microsoft buying web TVs. It's like, what?
Yes.
The only thing I can say, and again, I agree with probably some comments I've heard from Leo Laporte's network, is that it's the most expensive acqui-hire in history. And it's not for Dr. Dre. I think it's for his partner who's got the connections to the music industry. But even that, this whole thing just grates on me.
Yeah, it does. It makes me worry about the direction Apple's going. And I say that because it's like, well, you know, there's nothing else out there that can replace Apple for its quality. And if Apple's quality starts going down, then what is there?
Then they just go down even keel with everybody else.
Yeah, I know. But that's just, I don't know. It really worries me. So, but we'll see. They're also talking about there's probably going to be some big changes with Apple TV. An update. I'm not sure what that means. They might put Siri into it so that you can yell at it from across the room. or maybe they'll have a microphone inside the remote control or something.
Finally enable apps. That would be nice.
Yes, that's another rumor. They might enable app development for it. And I'm sure there'll be a bunch of new channels because they've been adding channels a lot this year. When it first came out, you barely got any new channels at all. But this year, you know, there's been several channels. Most of them I'm not interested in, but you know, they still have channels. So we'll see. And of course, I'm sure there's going to be a new Puck available for hardware, which my wife goes, but you just got ours. Yeah, I got it 2 years ago, but you know, but you just got. Yeah, I know. We'll see. We'll see what they have to offer. We'll see whether it improves anything. Because frankly, the Apple TV I have is the product I like to watch my videos on. It's I don't know. To me, it's got the best picture, the best streaming. It even beats the Xbox on a lot of things. And the Xbox can sit there and buffer everything on the hard drive. But, most of the time when I'm watching something streaming, I'm doing it through the Apple TV. So we'll see. We'll see what they're going to offer. So, and as Michael said, WWDC starts actually Monday, doesn't it?
Monday, yep.
And Tuesday
is... I feel like I should be on a plane right now.
Yeah. Tuesday's the keynote, right? I think it's the second. Well, wait a minute. When, today's...
No, it's tomorrow. Normally the first day.
It's Monday.
It should be Monday. You know it should be Monday.
Oh, God. I know I'm going to be eating lunch at my desk then. Because I'll be... wonder if I can watch the streaming. Yeah, maybe. They have been pretty good about letting other streaming things come through at work now. So, we'll see. One of our listeners, Scott, who gave us feedback before, he sent us four, actually. I've got a couple others from Scott that I failed to add today. I forgot to put them in last week's show, and I failed to put them in with these other ones, but I'll get to those. But he offered some comment on... four topics. We'll start with the first one. If you remember I'm going to say about a month ago we talked about this, about the IRS.
Yes, and I accidentally blew a gasket.
Yeah, collect debts from, and then he came in and said, I kind of find that hard to believe and stuff like that. Well, he's got an update. And basically we said, well, I don't know, it was the Washington Post, and the Washington Post is usually, you know, you can, you know, reliable for their sources and stuff. But, you know, and I think you and I both said, well, we hope you're right. Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
Yes. Here's an update from Scott. So.
I'm not to the end of the listening to you guys talking about this, but I don't want to forget things I wanted to say. I went through my 3 points why I didn't think it was real, and people had varying degrees of, you know, agreement or disagreement on that. And then at the end I said I still think that it's not real. And you said, yeah, I hope that you're right. And I may still be right, but we're never going to find out. You remember what I said about fact-checking on this? Well, did you read? I haven't heard anything on the podcast yet, but maybe it'll be in a later podcast. It'll come up again. But I did follow this story for a little while to see what happened, and it didn't last long. I followed it for about a week or two, and it was, I didn't have to follow it that long, because only within days of the story coming out, guess what happens? Washington Post sends a quick blurb out, and very little information in it, that says, well, the U.S. government said they're not going to be enforcing this any longer. They're not going to do it.
Oh, that was a little touchy. I was going to let it go for a second more. But yeah, I didn't see that, and of course not, because if the Washington Post came, well, basically what the government said was, oh yeah, we were talking about doing that, but we're not really going to do that. That, you know, that's, we're not going to go after it. We could if we wanted to, but we're not going to do it. You know, so and it was a quick blurb apparently in the Washington Post, and nothing's been said since then. So
doing anymore, and that's all they said. It wasn't in that many words, but it was in, you know, a paragraph, maybe a paragraph and a half in the online Washington Post about it. Why so little information? Why not? Well, why did you say that? How come, you know, you just turn around on a dime or whatever? You see, that again seems extremely suspicious. You know what it seems like? It seems like the Washington Post, just like I thought, got caught with their pants down.
Or it could be that the government was putting up a trial balloon and see if people would get outraged about it.
Exactly. Yeah. You throw out a seed, stir the pot, let it settle, and then say, oh, no, we won't. We could if we wanted to, but we won't. And then when they do, they can say, well, we did warn you.
Right. Yes, exactly. So either way, you know, it could be that the Washington Post did not do their job, did not check it out. But if it really was the government coming and saying, oh, yeah, we're not going to do that, then right. I would say I think it falls under the trial balloon.
Both are valid theories. Both are valid theories.
Yeah. So
they don't want people to find out they got caught with their pants down because it's their reputation. So instead they fake another story saying, oh, they're not going to do it anymore. Which is true. They weren't doing it to begin with. And I hope that nobody figures it out. Pardon me for being so skeptical. I don't know if we'll ever know what the truth on that is.
There's no problem being skeptical. I think more people need to be skeptical. Yeah. So,
but I think that's the case. I do not believe a word of that story, the way it went down. And I'm still waiting, because you guys were saying how Barry was saying that the reason that this can work is that people don't have the money to fight it. And that's true. But, of course, in my ultimate end piece there, I addressed that by saying class action suit.
Yeah, class action suits. Harry, back in my Hampshire, New West, South, and
Just
Tang Shane the Shoot. Directory. Well, I guess I'll wear you well. If the incident on a quickly let me let us do that, you need them. Okay.
To get up here and start and go. Years started to start. You remember? It's all that. It's a damn. Yeah, he's but he's
for each fate. Couple days of step must so he has. I'd compile the sh. And for old people, I'm shut up because I can check my phone. So, nice to meet you. I look toward my mortal case of faith of all health. I see we and that's
Google and test with more fans. But yeah, face with face every day. What face it's the AC plug of Google and I'll be able to read his rain. Ching, 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 and We agree with two. We're putting
For a number of stupid and careless reasons, I am not in possession of most of these. Well, he put that out there, and he set up a BitTorrent sync file or directory, so people could add them, and if they had them, and then he had another BitTorrent sync one for people that wanted to download it. Well, he received an email from one of his super friend of the show, Raymond Port, and apparently Raymond had the entire archive from the first show on.
Yeah.
So he is, I think most of them, I think they're all up there now, because I'm not sure when this webpage was started, but they're all up there, and if you do BitTorrent sync, you can. He's got the code here for the read-only one, and you can download the entire archive of the Daily Source Code. We'll put the link in the show notes, but it's blog.curry.com/2014/01/15/the-daily-source-code-archive-project.html. It's the link to it. So we'll put a link in the show notes for that. But yes, if you were a fan of the Daily Source Code and you wanted to listen to the old ones, they are available now.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that. And, especially the early.
Yeah, because, you know, I didn't start listening to him until probably about the same time Scott, or what Scott has. I probably started listening to him. Maybe I was earlier, because I think I started listening to podcasts in April of 2014, and Adam Curry was the first one I found, because, of course, he's the pod
2004.
2004. April 2004, and of course, that was the first one I ever listened to, because he is the podfather. He came up with podcasting, and I've got to say that, I'm interested in listening to some of those. Finally, he had one here. It was called, Joel, you asked, what is a stop-start type of interview? And it's kind of what we're doing right now.
Yeah, exactly.
but he explained it. Let me, hang on. Let me stop this one, start this one. And I'm, okay. Oh, I know why. So I have it on pause.
Well, it's kind of funny. While you were actually doing it, you made the comment, "What the heck's a stop start?" And what's he doing while he's doing it? Stopping and starting playing my file. I actually kind of got that term from Trucker Tom, who always used to call it a stop start. I don't know that I ever had a word for it, but it seemed to fit, so I used it forever after that, and so did a number of other podcasters who listened there. So yeah, that's what it was. Stop start is, this is exactly what you did. You stop it, people make comments, you start again, you just kind of intersperse it with your podcast, and it gives you a lot to talk about, which is pretty cool, you know. It's like adding a virtual additional member. And it's sort of what Adam Curry always did, if you think about it. He'd play the comment, and he'd stop it, and then he'd start it again. He did stop starts all the time.
And he still does. Well, except for they stop start news items now. And
well, I actually, I kind of hearken this one back to Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Well, yeah, kind of adding comments, but they didn't stop the movie, though.
Yeah, good point. They would sort of like push the sound down, that soundtrack in the movie down, and push up the comments. Yeah. So, I mean, it's you're right, and it's what we've been doing all along.
Yeah, so... So that's where he got his definition. And that was our feedback, or viewer mail, as I like to call it, on the podcast.
Thanks, Scott.
From Scott. And he asked me, and I did set up a special folder for him to give us more feedback in Dropbox. So he's got a Late Night QRM feedback one, so he can drop them there. Because he's been emailing these to me, and depending on... who you've got, those things can get large, and there may be a limit on how much you can attach.
Wow, so, good point. Yeah.
So, anyway, it's good to have feedback, and it does add more topics, and it's nice. I like it. So we'll keep on doing it. Maybe we'll get some other people to join in on the commenting thing. That'd be cool.
On that note, I've been meaning to email Anthony and Dr. Dave and Bob. Because I love listening to their friggin' podcast, you know. the Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour, and I just subscribed to Broken Area. And Michael, thank you. I also just subscribed to the Jonathan Files.
Yep.
So I'm listening to a bunch of their stuff, and I, honest to God, I have a few other... I don't know, but you know how you say you guys have A and or B and C class podcasts or whatever? Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of B's and C's because these guys are right at the top. All their podcasts are in the A folder.
Yeah.
And I look, and I'm like, oh, come on, I want to listen. And I'm like, nah, I guess I'm stuck listening to a C. And it's a bummer. I know that, you know, these guys like us do it as a source of enjoyment or as an outlet. Mm-hmm. However, you know, it's like, man, I wish there was almost a daily episode because I'd love to keep up with it.
That's a hard thing to do, but especially because all those guys work.
Yeah, they got lives and family and work. And, it takes time to do this stuff.
It's a hobby for them too, which is amazing that they put out what they put out, considering it is just a hobby. Because they are all entertaining, and I love listening to them too. Although I haven't, I just been busy, so I haven't had time to check out the other two. So I will have to subscribe to them myself and check those out.
And a good way to get a hold of these guys, they do have comment areas on the websites for the podcasts. Or if I hear an episode I really like, and I don't know if Barry's seen me do this, but are you on Twitter, Joel?
No, but I know, like, when I listen to Mr. Bob Goyetch, as he says he's on Twitter from 11 to 11:03 on a Thursday, A-Z, and which makes me laugh like hell.
But, yeah, these guys I do follow on Twitter. I don't have cell service. Twitter does work in Wi-Fi.
Right.
But all that being said, I do follow all these guys on Twitter, and when I see an episode, and a particular one that, you know, that it strikes home, I will call them out on Twitter and, you know, say, I really like this or I really like that, and copy the episode, copy the either the podcast or the podcaster.
Right.
They get it right away.
Yeah. That's cool.
And it also gives recognition to them, to everybody else that follows them. So I think it's a good way of sending feedback to them.
That'd be good. Maybe it'll make me start using Twitter again. That's the only... I mean, I have it up.
I mean, I hashtagged RMFS last week and got immediate feedback on that.
Really? I gotta say, I rarely pay attention to Twitter. I still have the app up on my, you know, the laptop, and... I have it on my screen at work and stuff like that. But, you know, unless there's some kind of breaking news thing going on that, I rarely pay attention to it. And I don't know when the last time I actually tweeted anything. So, but I guess it's still, viable out there, and some people really use it, but...
A lot of people still use Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's this political QRM commenter out there that posts stuff.
Yeah, yeah. She posts quite a lot there. Yeah, that's her thing. She loves Twitter, and she's got quite a following, and she's made several friends on there, but I've kind of gone dormant on Twitter. Matter of fact,
for my friends north of the border who happen to be south of me.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't be as active either. But yes, I know what you're saying.
Well, maybe
that seems to be their way of talking. So
okay, I'll have to join them. Yeah, I actually, especially with the Ingress stuff and everything, I've really gotten into Google Plus.
Yep.
I watch a lot of that stuff, and with Ingress, they've got a bunch of, not only do they have a couple communities, like, you know, we have a community, well, it's a private community, members only.
Yes.
We probably should start another one. They also use Hangouts all the time for, just talking back and forth. So they, and they text on it. They don't use Hangouts for video or anything. They just use it as a texting device, which is very frustrating to me when I'm at work, because work does block Hangouts at work. And, I miss a lot of stuff because, you know, they've got the community, but they do post stuff there, but they don't use it like the chit chat that they do on Hangouts, which again, it's just like using regular texting, but you do have the option of hitting the video button if you want.
right So. And it always happens by accident in our Ingress Hangout.
Yes, matter of fact, they joke about it.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Oh,
you called, Dave? No, I didn't. Oh, but you called. No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's got your name on it. It was you. It wasn't me. Well, it's got your username, and yeah, it's funny. All right. Well, anybody else got any other topics? Because we're running long.
I got a show of the week here. I know we are.
Okay, but, go ahead.
I'm actually here, and I'm actually in the man cave. So, yeah. I don't remember if we brought this up yet, but again, from our friends north of the border, if we've talked about Discultured quite a bit in the past. Uh-huh. Well, Shane B. has started up the Shanecast again. So if you want to look him up, he's not doing the Sound of Awesome yet. I would like to hear that again. But the Shanecast. The Shanecast is one word. And that's Shane Burley.
Okay. Is it S-H-A-N-E? Is that how he spells his name?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to get it right.
And the first episode was the first episode, and then there was like a year or two before he continues on with episode two, but he's up like he's putting out two or three a week now.
Okay. Wow. Are they 10-minute ones?
Yeah, they're 10, 16, but they're not hour.
Right.
They're under 20 minutes.
They're short. Short
podcast. Is it shanecast.ca or .com?
I don't know. I went and found the feed. So it's the Shanecast podcast. Well, if you look it up under Downcast.
Come on, Joel. All right. Look at the Book of Knowledge.
I am at the Book of Knowledge, and it won't come up. It says Safari can't find the server.
Okay, no. He's got it like an all-in-one page. Now you're going to make me look it up. Hang on. Please stand by. And Shane is readily available on Google Plus. He hates Facebook. He does have a Facebook page, but he spends most of his time on Google Plus.
I've been weaning myself off of Facebook more and more, too. I mean, I still go on and check it because I got a bunch of old friends.
But one of the recent ones he put up on...
I'm still here, yes. Okay,
yep. Sorry. Hello? Oh.
Hangouts was asking me if I'm still here.
He posted on Google Plus was a modified Godzilla movie poster.
Yeah.
And it was changed to Gornzilla.
Gornzilla?
Gornzilla, with a little tiny Starship Enterprise up in the sky.
The new Godzilla does kind of look like the Gorn. You think about it. Wow. That's a good observation.
All right. What's this darn homepage? He shows up all over the place.
It's funny because I highlighted the Shanecast that I typed in here, and I hit the link button if you give it to me, and it came up with the Shanecast podcast.
Okay, that's it.
Facebook, and it says...
No, not Facebook.
It's giving me a Facebook page for the Shane podcast, so he must have a Facebook page for it.
But that's old. Remember, he started this years ago and then started it up again.
Okay, well, let me do this, and then let me click on it and see if it tells you where else to go. Redirecting to the Shanecast, and the Shanecast podcast is on Facebook. Yes, it is. You have another page listed here.
I'll get you the link.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I just...
He has a main homepage, and I just... Buggers if I can find it right
now. Oh, it's got www.shaneworld.com.
Shane's World. Is it Shane's World?
Shane's World, yes. It's small letters, and I can't zoom in on it. .ca.
CA, yeah.
/podcast/.
Well, no, this isn't the one I'm looking for either. Hang on.
Well, I mean, because he's got all the episodes on Facebook. So he's keeping up Facebook.
Yeah, but yeah, he has an even bigger all-in-one page.
Okay, he just has listed under here, www.shanesworld.ca.
Yeah, but there's an even more altogether page.
Well, I'm going to go look at that and see what we got.
Yeah, I'm on Shane's World, but I know there's more.
Okay. Well, he does definitely have the Shanecast on here.
Yes, yes, he does.
So if we're interested in just the Shanecast, it's shanesworld.ca. I'll put that in as the link, and then people can go experiment and find things as they like. So... Oops. Page.
That's what I get for entering this at the last minute. A major page, and I can't find it.
Okay, well, I'll put shanesworld.ca, and people can at least find the Shanecast on there.
Yep. And if you type in Shanecast under Downcast, it'll just find the podcast for you.
Right. And
again, you know, I really like the guy. I have met him in person. I have had conversation over drinks with him in person. But everybody I like may not be your cup of tea. So I throw that disclaimer out. But I highly respect the guy.
Yeah, it's just worthwhile. I enjoy him, even though most of them are frickin' liberals. No, they're a little more liberal than me, I would say. I'm right of center. I'm a libertarian, so. And I've been on Facebook, I've been reposting, resharing things recently that are coming off of anti-Republican Party platforms, because I think that both the Democrats and the Republicans in particular are dropping the ball on the whole VA thing right now.
Yes.
And there's, you know, I don't give a shit what you think. You take care of the people that protect this frickin' country. I don't care how much it costs. That should be the number one thing. You know, and they're playing political games on getting the bills passed to fund the VA and get the care that these soldiers, airmen, sailors, Coast Guard people. I'm not sure what they're called. Guardies? Coasties. and Marines. What they all need, you know. So, yeah, I'm a little upset about that on both sides. Quit playing politics. These guys need the money. Okay. Anything else? Any other shows?
No.
Okay.
No.
I think we'll call it, because I know it's not 2:45 because we were chatting before we started the podcast, but it's It's over 2 hours. I know that. The kamikazes are hitting Joel.
Right?
Oh, if this were only a video podcast.
Shut up, Barry. You weren't supposed to mention that.
All right, we do have a musical guest tonight. The musical guest is Holly Benton and her song, As If. But before we go, we want to say thanks to all the U.S., the service members out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, and thank you for what you're doing. And we hope you get back home to your family and friends real soon. And until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. So, with that, from the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, I am Barry.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And Jeepless in Copper Harbor, I'm Michael, the virtual Jeeper, back in the mangrove.
Okay, and that wraps up show 141, 142 next week. So we'll see you then. Thanks for listening, and here's Holly Benton.
It's so hard letting go. I run into people that we used to know. They always ask, girl, how have you been? Weren't you the best of lovers and friends? I take a moment, and all I can say as if I needed a reminder. You'd think my friends would be kinder, as if I'd forget to breathe, the sun forget to shine. Don't think I don't cry, 'cause you're not in my life. We may not have tomorrow, but yesterday will always be as if. They're not the ones that are living. It doesn't matter to me what they say. I glance at your picture as I put it away. As
Samson, speak. Good boy.